Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
So, see how smooth that is? It's less so when I point it out.
I don't know. I think you could argue that either way.
Thanks for your support, actually.
Yeah.
I've felt vulnerable lately, and that helps.
You're riding it right down the middle, Bo.
I'm aiming for a good B-. That's all I'm looking for out of life.
Yeah. Give me that hair, that hairline right in the gray area at the center.
Yeah.
Right there.
Anytime someone says gray area, I immediately flash back to Fletch, where he's talking about the investigation, and he says, well, you know, there we get into a bit of a gray area, and his editor asks him, how gray? And he says, I don't know, charcoal. So
gray. That's a gray color.
It is a gray.
Heather.
Yeah. Like the t-shirt, like Heather T.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little white, a little gray.
This is the Shotcast, episode 52.
Itself a gray area.
Yeah. The 50s are weird. Like I'm looking down the barrel of them and I'm thinking like, I don't know what my 50s look like. I really have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
Have
to tune in and find out, man. Just
yeah.
To show up and yeah.
Just keep tuned in, listeners. And you can hear the gradual decline.
This shit's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But yeah, so it's episode 52 of the Shotcast. We are deep in the E3 prep days. So
oh yeah. That is like a week and change away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got, you know, there's some video game news out there. As well as some gaming. Let's kick it around the table one time before we jump into what we've been playing. Justin McFerrin, how the hell are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been doing a decent amount of gaming and getting this the old RTMP server thing set back up. In case we want to mess around with that. So that's exciting stuff.
I'm so glad you're doing that. You're so much smarter than we are.
Well, I just have this sort of maniacal thing where I want to like have my own tiny little TV station sitting here at my desk. And I think my ultimate goal with that is that four people can play and maybe I'll drop in and out and I will do some like just live cutting back and forth and just get it to where it's looking real, you know, fancy.
Oh,
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
You should call it Justin TV.
Yeah. Oh, Justin.TV. Maybe I'll see if I can get that address.
Yeah. I mean, if some asshole's sitting on it, we'll muscle them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll get some lawyers or something. Like, who could those people be? Right.
Right.
We could get a lawyer. If we wanted one, we could get one.
I think I know. I mean, we could always get our mutual friend, John, even though he's a divorce attorney. I mean, how hard could it be?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Seriously.
That's
how you know that I'm just gonna go at it here. That's how you know lawyers aren't special is because if you want one, you can just get one. Like they're not rare.
Yeah, it's like people calling babies a miracle. You know, it's
really?
Like, no,
a miracle
seems kind of dime a dozen.
It's a bit much.
Yeah. Most of the time when I think of children, I think of the word accident, but. At or various
mistake.
Stages, yeah.
Or mistake.
Horrible, oops, horrible burden. Yeah. Oops.
Oh, shit.
You're what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of hating children, John. It's John Dolan rocking the mic. Mean,
I guess I just tolerate Justin, so.
No,
he's the young one. Get it?
I get it. I get it.
That was lame. I'm sorry. That was terribly mean for no reason.
I was trying to cover it up, and then you just drag us all back down into the mire with you.
I mean, if anyone's watched the pubs videos, I yell at you guys a lot, so I deserve it a little bit.
It's constructive criticism. That's how you have to view that. When somebody's yelling at you in a life and death situation, they're trying to help.
We're trying to help.
I will absolutely. I'll get to why I haven't been playing as much Battlegrounds. It's not because Justin is a cruel and vicious taskmaster That's not the reason. It happens, but that's not the reason. No, I watched some of the video with you guys and Power Listener Andy when you were driving over the dude or attempting to. That was prime time, Justin. You can see that over on sdfgaming.com.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Highlight.
Yeah.
Highlight of a moment.
Oh, you could hear the vein standing out in your forehead. It was so.
Why are you
good.
Doing this to me? Why are you doing?
Why
this
are you doing right? this? And then we all started getting shot. It
was yeah.
Great. It was like, oh, it was very apparent.
Actually, I really liked the one where we ended up. It was you and me and Power Listener Andy. And we ended up with a random matchmaking guy in our group because I forgot to uncheck it. And what was it? Spooky something?
Spooky 77 or something.
Yeah. Like that. And we're just like, and he jumped out of the plane right away. And we're just like, well, that's not where we were going to drop. So we went to the other side of the map. And then over the course of that game, we got in a car. We met back up with the guy who we couldn't talk to that was on our team. And then took off in that car, ran into another car, like fucking there was like a gunfight between cars, and then we ended up winning that round. That was the first time we ever won. It was just the craziest circumstances all just kind of came together. It was weird.
That was very against us meeting back up with this guy.
Yeah,
because I'm like, we're just gonna get in this car, he's gonna hop out and he's just gonna kill us because he doesn't yep. have stuff and he's gonna take our stuff.
But and then as soon as we picked him up, there was another car full of guys shooting at us almost immediately. It was crazy. And then we went on to win it, which was even crazier. And it was all four of us were still alive at the end, which I've never seen. So,
well, since this has come up, let's just jump right into it. Everybody's been playing some PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds for the list initiated. And, you know, I mean, that game's got staying power. Everybody's been kind of sticking with it. I've been a little off my game lately because I've just been distracted with some other stuff, but. That game still, man, it's great. I'm looking forward to seeing what the new patch is about. Do you know more about that, Justin?
I know a bit. I have yet to play, but there's a new gun. It's a silenced Russian sniper rifle-y type deal, the VSS. It's in a lot of other games. It's in DayZ, I think.
Did they stealth push the update today? Because when I came down here to start up for the podcast, I opened up Steam and it forced a 5 gigabyte update for that game.
Yeah, they pushed it this morning. Yeah, this morning they announced they were going to push it for another week, and then about 30 minutes later they were like, JK, we fixed it and we're going. And there's a bunch of stuff. There's optimization fixes. So there are some people who are like, you know, I was getting 30 frames. Now I'm getting 100 frames. You know, there's some people who are like, I didn't see any difference. But I honestly don't ever have really an issue with frame rate in that game.
Yeah.
But any optimization is awesome.
Yeah, I've had basically no frame. Like the only we had like what seemed like network lag. A couple of times, but then the thing that does consistently happen is there's that audio bug, like when you're in the loading menu and then occasionally in game, the game will be playing smoothly, but the audio like has a stutter to it or something.
Yeah. I think they have a weird custom audio system, I think, for this game. They have a post about it and it's pretty cool. But they did also say a specific instance of like shooting guns in houses. There's a lot of like drop frames and stuff because of the blood splatter. Something with that was like causing people to drop frames, and that's gone. So actually fighting close to people should be a lot more
for something in that is in early access. It works quite well. So
it does. Yeah, it does.
I don't have a lot of complaints really.
Yeah. And laminates came out this week as well. That was good to see.
But you're talking about the laminated maps.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, unfolding paper is, I don't have time for that, so just make it a stiff board so you can just always have it right in front of you.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Our special maps. Other than that,
comes through here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Put that one in the library.
Yep. That kind of speaks to that game. Like, I don't print out, you know, materials for a lot of games, and
that's true.
Study guides and
yeah. So I don't usually have some visual aids at the ready for, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog or anything. But this game makes you think about where you want to go. I really like The Circle game is a game in and of itself.
All hail the circle.
It's really kind of an interesting puzzle to figure out every time, because you have to pay attention, because we were playing really fucking lazy the other night. Like, we weren't remembering the flight path very well from game to game. And so we were getting in situations where we're like, fuck, I don't remember where we saw all those chutes. What was the compass heading? Like, we weren't keeping track of that stuff, and we were just getting worked. Yeah. And when you're really thinking about it, and you're like, all right, remember the flight path, and then there was a bunch of guys to the southwest of here that all came out of the plane at the same time, and so let's go north and we'll kind of see where the circle goes, and then you just kind of start puzzling it out. It's really interesting from that standpoint.
It certainly makes you adapt and change your tactics very quickly. I think it's the adrenaline simulator for sure. I mean, I find myself, my heart's pumping. I have to tell myself to breathe right. And because you start making really stupid decisions.
Yeah, that sensation is really intense when you're playing by yourself.
Yeah. You start second guessing yourself. Everything's a person that, you know, that bush, someone's hiding in that bush. Like, yeah, you really, I like it. Yeah.
Bush wookies.
You're talking about in the game, right?
In the game.
Yeah. Okay. Not just in like walking game. Around.
Oh yeah. I was having a nom flashback.
I'm going to do that. Although, I'll do that on the streets of Baltimore tomorrow when I go out to lunch. I'll just jump and go, there's a guy in the bush.
Although I will say,
get hairy
I've
in
been
there.
I've been riding my bike a lot, and it's by the air, close to the airport. And today I did see like an airplane just flying. Like, as I'm riding my bike, it kind of crosses overhead. Nice. I'm just like waiting for that supply drop to drop out the back.
Yeah. Would you get Tommy gun? Probably.
Right.
Nice. Yeah. Oh yeah. There should be bicycles in this game. That would be an interesting addition.
Yeah. Well, the new update.
Quiet.
Yeah, that would be cool. The new update has a single seat motorcycle, and they made it GTA style, so you can actually control
just
it
stunts.
In the air.
Yeah, no, that was you're poaching one of my news items from later, but we Sorry. Might as well throw. No, we might as well throw.
Yeah,
all
it's kind of just all gonna get wrapped in there, I think.
Yeah. But so you can control like the orientation of the bike when it's in the air with the stick. Is that what it does?
Yeah, it's just going to be stupid because people are just going to like fly through the air and turn it sideways.
try to do some upside down motorcycle shots or something.
Yeah, and there's already people who will like ramp cars onto the tops of buildings and stuff like that. So like that's already going to just become a thing. I mean, we were talking last night with Andy and Mark when we were playing. I think a cool strategy that I've watched a decent number of people playing and I haven't seen this, where I think three of us, we should get holed up in a house. And then one person gets on a motorcycle and just runs around and tries to get some people to chase them back to that house.
That's not bad. So just bait them in.
Bait and switch, yeah.
Yep.
I think that you can really rack up on that.
That game's like, all about thinking of stuff like that. Did you see the video of the guys who intentionally rolled a vehicle and then they stay inside the vehicle while it's rolled? And because it clips through the map a little bit, they're underground and not visible when people walk up to the car.
Yeah, I remember that was a long time ago that, basically, I think when we first started playing, I was like, if you see a flip vehicle, don't go close to it.
Yep.
Because, like, yeah, that's just what everyone was doing. It's crazy how things like the meta outside the game gets like that, where everyone figures out a tactic and just it gets spammed until no one does it, and then people start doing it again.
That's weird. You just never know when to expect that shit. It could be... Yeah. Anytime. Keeps it fresh.
Yeah. So anyone else want to mention anything about Battleground? I feel like we've done a lot of coverage of it. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but everybody's playing it.
Yeah.
Everybody
if you like third person shooters that are real simple but good because of it, it's worth trying out.
Yeah. That's a super fun game. Justin, what else have you been playing?
Well, I woke up this morning and saw that DayZ update, and then I saw that it was already downloaded. So I spent about an hour with that this morning. And I have to say, I mean, the denser forest thing is amazing. They've got this thing where the grass and stuff now sways with the wind.
Yeah, I saw that video.
Well, even down to like the coast, and there's like reeds and those sway too.
Oh, really? That's cool. Yeah, I saw in a video of like big, tall, kind of like pines, some kind of very tall, skinny pine tree, and they almost kind of bowed a little bit when they like the top swayed more than the bottom part did. It had some nice physics to it.
It
looks realistic, man.
It's cool to see, almost like a, it's almost like a painting, and then someone's just filling in the details, you know, as you go along. Like they started with just like a rough draft, and so that was just like, you know, DayZ standalone came out. You've got the map and the forest, and now just everything is just getting amped up and made and optimized. And I think, like, you know, in the end, I have hope and still have hope that this is going to be a, you know, solid game that has good mechanics. Like, it's not going to be a game that's just horrible. It's just a game that is an example of maybe what not to do when you make a game.
Yeah.
You know, don't, maybe it's better to not do early access. You know, it's just one of those examples of, it's just a weird beast.
Yeah.
We'll ever try and do quite the same thing that they did again in the same manner. Even though there's a lot of stuff that happened at the same time, it's kind of like that, like Star Citizen.
Yeah.
But that update is, it's crazy. They changed the audio mechanics, so now there's a lot of different ambient noise, and it changes based on the environment that you're in.
It has dynamic weather as well, right?
Yeah, dynamic
like the wind,
weather.
The wind doesn't just blow the trees. The wind direction actually changes and blows things in different directions.
That's, like
I saw a video of some guy threw a smoke grenade on the ground, and the plume of smoke coming out of it was kind of moving around the grenade, which was kind of cool. That's interesting. I like that kind of shit. Like, even just real subtle touches like that really make, you know, good games great. So should be interesting to see the final product.
The core game is already great. It's going to be amazing when everything else is there. And I think, you know, we'll probably, I'll probably spend a whole bunch of time with it whenever it's actually done.
Yeah. Yeah. I've burned myself out on it too many times. I don't want to do it again. I just want it to be finished and then go see what that is, you know? And I'm sure they'll continue to update it after it comes out. Like, there'll be a resurgence. And that's when you say how not to do early access, I kind of feel like the biggest mistake that they made was just kind of the incremental updates of it. Like, each time you would sign in and this one little thing has been improved, and it didn't, that, you know, there were still 10 million problems. So every time you logged in to play it for a little bit, it was still just as broken.
Yeah.
It's just better to just, they should just have more of a, Star Citizen does it fairly well, where they, you know, talk about upcoming details, and then they say, in, you know, this timeline, we're going to push out all of these things. And then when they get a little closer, they're like, we're not quite done with all of these things we wanted to put in, so we're going to delay it a week. But they kind of deliver what they say, even if it's late, which is kind of a good way to do it.
And yeah, they're just
DayZ, it was just constant confusion about what is it going to do, when is this part coming, you know. I can never follow that stuff.
Yeah, they never had a good public relations side of that, I think.
No.
And, you know, it's whatever. They were just a bunch of guys making first a mod, and then that mod got picked up. And it was just, you know, just weird.
That's becoming an important part of video games, though, is
the PR, for sure. Yeah.
Which is, I fucking hate marketing so much, but it can really make the difference for certain games.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you guys. Like, I kind of want this game to be a finished thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll check it back out. But, I mean, that's all cool. I hope that game ends in a place where I feel like playing it again, and I'm just not there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm doing too, because if I play it right now, it just won't be as, you know, as good as it could be later, I guess, is how I'm approaching it.
Yeah.
Just look at the pictures. That's all
you need to do. No, it looks nice. Yeah. I watched a little video, saw some other guy running around in town. That was enough.
Yeah. I like foliage.
Yeah.
John, what about you? Have you been playing anything other than the PUBG?
Mostly PUBG, but I also I got it on sale or something a while ago, but I started it up. It's an indie game called Speedrunners, and it's a like 4-player local or online multiplayer co-op, and it's like a runner game, except you're on almost kind of a race course. So you're these little people, and you have grappling hooks, and it's a side view, almost like a little platformer, and you run along through this maze, and there's a single direction you have to go. Like, you're always either going clockwise or counterclockwise around this maze, but you'll go up and down, and the screen will kind of move with you. You can have all these little pickups where you pick up weapons and shit that you can throw at the players you're playing against to like block their path. Or one of the special powers is like a little pulse that shoots out from your guy and pushes them back. So ultimately what you're trying to do is the race can actually be completed by, I think, going around the entire course like 3 times. But you never really have enough time to do that because after a certain amount of time, the outside edges of the screen turn bright red and start to slowly mash in towards the center. So your screen, the map that you're on stays the same size, but what you can see of it becomes less because of this encroaching square coming in from the outsides. And if you get far enough away from the lead of the race, which is where the center of the camera always stays, you get blown up by that red wall that's kind of pushing in. So that's how it kind of deals out who's going to win this round. So it behooves you to move faster than the other players, take shortcuts when they come up, drop bombs and shit behind you to trip them up. And then you can actually like grab them with your, one of the power-ups is like a super grappling hook. So you can be running along and shoot out your hook and grab one of the other players and just like throw them behind you and take first place away from them. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It almost sounds like it's got a little, Mario Kart in it.
Yeah, it does.
I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. But it's just kind of a, like a side view platformer. It's fast. It's got cool music. All the characters are kind of cool, cartoony style. I wouldn't really know what to compare it to, but it's like a modern. It's not really cel shaded, but it's almost looks like a Flash cartoon actually when I think about it. Hmm. But yeah, it's a cool game. I think I got it on sale for $5 in one of the last sales. It was one of my mini games in the continuing quest of finding cool couch co op games to play with Daniel. So it's fun.
All right. I have been deep into one game and flirting with another, so I'll give them both a brief mention. The flirtation has been with Injustice 2, which is the, you know, NetherRealm fighting game, the sequel to Injustice 1, for those keeping track. And yeah, it's, you know, it all right, like I suck at fighting games, just let's get that out of the way. So I had heard enough good things about the story of this game and that it was a little more accessible and had some kind of loot stuff and all that kind of thing, so it intrigued me, and so I picked it up and I've played through most of the story at this point. I'm playing on easy. I'm not here to impress anybody. And that
You're
game...
just here for blood, Ren.
You know, I really like... I like the pace and the style of that game a ton. I'm still no good at fighting games. Like, I find the 4 or 5 things that I can do with a character, and I just keep doing that. And it turns out if you're playing the story mode on easy, that's kind of okay.
Yeah.
so...
I'm just here to see this.
Yeah, I just want to see what this is. And then, but every now and again, I'll do the multiverse stuff. So, like, there's the main storyline, and the storyline forces you to play as different characters. So you get, like, a little sample of sort of what everyone can do. And in most cases, the move list is pretty much the same with variations. So if you know how to do, you know, 3 or 4 basic combo moves, then that will translate to the other characters mostly. And you can also very quickly check out their move list and stuff. So it's not like the game's incredibly user friendly in that regard. And then there's an area called the multiverse, which they justify by saying, hey, in the DC universe, there are all these multiverses where, you know, there's like Victorian era Batman and Mr. Freeze, who is on a desert planet and shit. And so it basically is just an excuse for you to take one of your characters into another round of fights. And in so doing, you get loot drops, which are kind of costume pieces, or in some case, you know, weapons and stuff like that that have a different cosmetic look to them. But they also have bonuses, so the more you're playing that stuff, if you're playing in single-player mode, you can actually boost your character Diablo style by wearing different stuff.
So it's like an RPG fighting game.
Kinda it is.
Hmm.
And you know, all that stuff is really fun. I've got a couple of characters that I like to play with now. I like the Green Arrow quite a bit, and the Harley Quinn is really good. So those are kind of my mains. But like, I don't want to give the impression that I have achieved some level of fighting game proficiency here, because I play it as shallowly as you possibly can. Like, I don't do meter burns, which are a thing.
Yeah,
I don't do any of that stuff because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm just kind of tearing through it and having a good time. And every now and again, I'll accidentally do something that's real cool. So
that is exactly how I play fighting games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, the hooks in this game are enough that I've really had a good time with it, and I've enjoyed unlocking characters. And, you know, it's kind of fun. Like, the past couple of mornings, even before work, I would play like a match or two. And just because it takes no time to jump into one. And if I die, who kind of gives a shit? I don't care. Like, I know I'm not great at these games. I actually fired up as a result of playing this. I'm like, hey, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to fire up the old, like, MKX, you know, that NetherRealm game, the Mortal Kombat 10. And I started playing through the intro, and I just couldn't beat it. I just couldn't get past it. And I was like... I'm the worst at this stuff, and yet Injustice 2 makes me feel like I'm okay.
Yeah,
and that is like the real hard sell on Injustice 2 is like, if you absolutely suck at fighting games like myself, Injustice 2 has enough in there for a single player that isn't really into fighting games and isn't going to be very good at them. Like, it still allows you to feel pretty cool when you're playing through the game. That game's real good. So
I have the original one of those. I think was a freebie on PlayStation Plus like a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I have Gods Among Us, and when Injustice 2 came out, I thought, man, I should get that. That looks really cool. And then I'm like, yeah, but I really suck at fighting games. So I just reloaded Gods Among Us, and I played a little bit of it yesterday and today, and man, I'm terrible.
I'll tell you, I think what you need is a little Injustice too, because I think like being able to just immediately crank it down to easy and not fuck around with like, well, yeah. I've got no illusions about my skill level, and I like that the game is dumbs it down enough for somebody who is stupid about fighting games like myself to still have a great time playing that game. You know, like I'll occasionally die. It doesn't happen that often, strangely.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show you that the easy mode is, I mean, the other character isn't just standing there, but they're not super aggressive and they're not whipping out a lot of crazy moves on you and stuff like that. I haven't even tried to play online multiplayer. Like, I don't need that kind of humiliation.
Yeah,
in my
like
life.
I should record that.
I'll stream that of just like, let's see me just get absolutely pulverized by someone. I'll do it. I don't have any shame about it. It's if you feel like that would be a good clip for the site, I'll do it.
What was that boxing game? I think it was
Fight Night.
Fight Night, exactly. That was it. The online game for that was fucking brutal.
Yeah.
It was exactly that. It was like, I don't actually understand how to play this game, do I? You mean, you just get your ass kicked when you went on that thing.
Yeah, and honestly, I just don't have the reflexes for it. Like, I don't have that speed of input to output that I need. Like, I'm never going to break a combo successfully. There were a number of times where the game is like, hey, do this move, and you can, like, in the training section, the tutorial, where it's like, hey, do this combo breaker, and I could never execute it right. And fortunately, the game was just like, do you want to skip this one? And I'm like, I certainly do. Let's get on to me fighting Swamp Thing. That's what I'm here for.
That's what my problem is with fighting games, I guess, is I just... learning to, like, okay, I get it. I got to go forward, then back, and then I got to hit X, Y really fast. And, like, training yourself to get good at that is, it's just like a muscle memory thing. Yeah. You just got to do it over and over and over and over. And it feels like practice.
Yeah. And, like, yeah. I've certainly gotten better with some of those characters. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I could beat you, John.
Oh, I'm certain.
But
of it. Yeah.
but that's only because you're worse than me. And like I gotta play to my skill level. And yeah, like if we played right now, I would clean up with you. But only because I've been playing the games. Like your kid might cry is what I'm saying. But no, but like give you a week with it. And then we would be back even Stevens just because I've played enough at this point to be like, oh, okay, well, now I know how to counter a jump a little bit better and that kind of stuff. So,
I mean, it literally is just practice. You just have to play those games a lot to make your fingers do those things properly.
Right, yeah. Right.
My biggest frustration with it is always like you're trying to do like back forward or something. And even on the D-pad on the PS4 controller, you unintentionally jump a lot, and that drives me fucking crazy when I play those kinds of games.
You know, my problem is more a thing of angle. Like, I don't hit the down right, so when I'm doing the sweep, like from like down to left or down to right, then I miss the first part of that, and I think it's because I have such giant manly hands.
That's probably what it is.
So my virility is really the problem. Yeah. All right, so... Enough about that. Even if you suck at fighting games, Injustice 2 is a lot more welcoming than most. That's my my advocacy for that game.
It looks fucking gorgeous too.
It looks great. I'll tell you that, you know, I'd read about this before I ended up picking it up, but you know, people were touting the facial animations, and sure enough, man, there are times it's kind of eerie of like, oh, that does look like how a face moves when people talk, which is one of the big issues in gaming for me. Like the games with the best graphics don't get that quite right.
Yeah.
And
like Horizon did a pretty good job, but it still wasn't quite there.
Right. And I feel like this is even better.
I feel like it was kind of a low polygon count, but I think the game that accomplished that the best is still LA Noire with like that face scan technology that they did. Because it was basically just video overlaid on, you know, a character model. And man, if it didn't look really good sometimes.
Yeah, it that is impressive. It's been a long time since I've visited that game, but that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. I might wait for that one on a sale or something, but
if you catch it on especially on the PS4, which is where I've got it, let me know and we'll do some sparring. But yeah, I'll see if I can jump online and get my ass handed to me and record it for posterity.
I would like to watch
as well.
All right. Yeah, well, everyone likes to watch the fire.
Invite the whole family.
Oh God, like I need their judgment anymore.
Bring your friends.
Oh man. Fucking holidays.
Make a night of it. We should contact some charities. We should make it a charity event.
Well, I'm only gonna play like for 15 minutes before I just start. I know, that's fine.
Just get a really shitty charity.
Build it up, like take out billboards and everything for a thing that's gonna last about 9.5 minutes before I'm like, man, fuck this game. I'm gonna play some single player.
Everybody chip in because we're trying to get this guy in our neighborhood to mow his grass and he won't do it, so we're just gonna pay somebody.
Right.
That's the charity.
That's about what it's worth. Seeing that video. All right, but so here's the game I really wanted to talk about. I didn't mean to get off on such an Injustice 2 tangent. So thank God for the Nintendo Switch, because it has driven prices on Wii U games down like you would not believe. This isn't the game I want to talk about, but I picked up like the HD Wind Waker remastered. And Mario World 3D, both of which I hear are great games, for like $15 for both.
Nice.
Right? But in so doing, I also picked up Breath of the Wild. And I have been playing Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild on the Wii U. And that game is really something. Breaking news here on the Shotcast, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is a great fucking game. So
I hadn't heard.
Yeah, it's it kind of flew under everyone's radar.
Really? That's weird.
Yeah, I know. You didn't hear a lot about it in the press. So I obviously it's a great game. I'm really, really enjoying it. But I was playing it right before I jumped on tonight. And what I like about that game is it has an almost Minecraft level of zen to it that I have really come to love. It's real easy to lose time in that game. Mostly because of how much I'm drinking when I play it, but
in the game or
both. But
we're gonna do this together, little buddy. We're both getting hammered.
Come on, Link. You can do it. Climb that mountain.
Such an asshole. Why are you such an asshole?
Golly, why are you always falling? Why are you always falling, Link?
Fuck, man. Come on.
It's just because I love you, Link. It's because I love you.
No, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry.
Smack that ass back to Nutbush. So,
relived a whole bunch of drunken conversations that I had in my life.
Oh, I know. It's so easy to jump into that because I've been on both ends of that a number of times.
Yeah.
oh, goodness. But, yeah, so, like, what I really dig about that game is as it opens up, there's just an old dude. Like, it's not voiced at all, as far as I can tell. And it's got kind of a cartoony animated style to it. So the fact that it's on the Wii U and not like a, you know, PS4 or PC or something, I don't think is really a detriment. It's just got this very particular look to it. That is, I guess, Wind Waker-ish in that it feels kind of animated, but it's much more realistic than that. Although the villains are all kind of cartoony and whatnot.
It reminds me of like a Don Bluth cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably a pretty good analogy. Yeah.
It's anime-ish. I mean, it's
a little bit for sure,
but it's got a unique style.
Yeah, and it's kind of the direction that Nintendo's been headed with those games anyway, which is to make them look a little more hand-drawn.
Yeah,
and this definitely has that vibe. It's very, very pretty. There's a little bit of hitchiness with the frame rate in certain areas, but it's one of those things where like you notice it and then it's gone. And so the game does a pretty good job with that.
Is it just like a hidden load maybe, or
I don't know if it's a hidden load or if it's just like I've noticed it a lot. If you're in kind of this plains area that's got a lot of grass blowing around. No. And I think it just may be an issue of like, man, there's a lot of shit going on the screen right now. Let us catch up. Yeah. But again, it's such a nitpicky thing to complain about. But what I dig about it is that when you're in this world, it's just like, go do whatever the fuck you want. You know, there's a couple of quest lines going on. But for the most part, it's just like wander around. You're going to find some stuff. And, you know, there are definitely objectives like, you know, there are shrines that give you spirit orbs that help you level up. And it almost feels like Skyrim Light in a way, because there's sort of a crafting element to it in terms of like you can cook food at fires and you can combine like some mushrooms with like Bogard arms, which are things you get from killing monsters, and throw them in the pot together and just kind of see what the fuck you get out of that. And you'll unlock all kinds of potions and recipes and stuff like that. You're not really the one thing I kind of don't like about the game, which again, a real minor nitpick, is that you're constantly burning through weapons and armor and shields and stuff.
Everything degrades, right?
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not crazy about that. I mean, like, you find so much stuff laying around that, it's never that big a deal.
Yeah, like I think I heard a lot of people saying the strategy is just basically always use the best weapon you have.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
when that one burns out, you go down to the next one, and then you find something new sooner or later. And
yeah, it like I've never been at a point where I was like, well, I ain't got nothing to kill nobody with.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of like weapon degradation like that though. Not to that extreme where you just like if you can fix them up, like take them to a blacksmith or, you know, break down other weapons and use it to improve that one or something like that. But when they just straight up bust on you, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. And the game's pretty good about like giving you a warning ahead of time where it's like, hey, your shield's really low on stamina or, you know, about to blow up in your hand. So you may want to go ahead and swap out. Nah. Stuff
and,
like that.
And you can't do anything about it. It's just done, right?
Yeah, like once you completely degraded an item, it just kind of poofs in your hand.
I mean, I guess that's realistic. Like a shield eventually would just take enough, you know, whooping to just finally give it up, you know?
Yeah, and there's sort of a level to the items. So some of them are just going to be way more durable and all that stuff. So it's, you know, if you run across a guardian, which are kind of these ancient robot looking things, there are a lot of parallels weirdly to Horizon in the game. But these guardian battles, which are kind of mini boss fights that you're doing, you kind of need your best stuff for that. And that's the only reason I tend to hold on to it is like, oh, the next time I run into a guardian, I'm going to want this, you know, sword as opposed to these clubs, which are all wood. Like I'm fairly early on and I'm taking my sweet damn time. I'm just kind of wandering around the map and doing the shrines, which are kind of puzzles, like big puzzles that you do. I do those and then kind of wander into a camp and see what's going on there. And you know, it's super relaxing. There are a lot of nods to the original Legend of Zelda. Like, I haven't played all the Zelda games or anything. I'm no expert. But Breath of the Wild has just been, like, a real treat. It sounds so dumb to say, but there was a moment where I realized that I could just climb any tree in the world and kind of grab apples from the branches and stuff that I was like, oh, that's kind of...
Yeah, it has, like, a really... like always present climbing system to it, doesn't it? Where you can constantly just be going up walls and shit like that.
Yeah, and the only thing that's really keeping you back is your stamina, which you can improve through the game. But that's also sort of how they wall off some of the game at first, where they're like, look, you don't have enough stamina to get up to this place, but wander around here, do some shrines, and you're gonna be fine.
That was kind of like Shadow of the Colossus kind of had that similar mechanic to it where you just had to beat a couple of the bosses before you were allowed to go into this area. And it was a stamina thing as well, like you just couldn't climb up, you know, the next boss as well unless you had beaten these three over here first. It was kind of cool.
I'll tell you one thing I did while I was playing just before we recorded, and I was like, oh, I need to remember to mention this on the podcast. So I came across, I want to say they're called Boggarts, something like that. It's some weird Nintendo variation on Hobgoblins or Legend of Zelda variation on them. And came across a camp with two of them. And I noticed that there was a beehive in a tree nearby. So I just shot an arrow at the beehive, which sent them off running because the bees came out and attacked the dudes. And they kind of ran away from one another. So I picked one of them off, and then the other returned to camp, and I snuck up behind him and murdered him from behind.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, well, that was a really cool series of events of realizing, like, oh, I can get them out of their initial position using this, you know, this beehive over here. And once I do that, I can pick them off separately instead of being in a battle with both of them at the same time.
And is that something that is not always the same everywhere you go? Like, you'll maybe only find a couple of beehives, or...
That was the first I'd seen.
Do you know if it regenerates or something? Like, if you go back to that town as the beehive?
Oh,
like, I've heard some crazy shit about this game where there's, like, systems where like birds lay eggs in trees, and if the egg stays there long enough, it turns into another bird that can go lay more eggs. And
oh,
shit.
Yeah. Like, I would totally imagine that that's a real thing because, all right, so that was the first beehive I think I've run into or the first one I've noticed. But I noticed that after I shot the beehive, the bees came out and kind of chased the boggarts around for a little bit, and then they went back to the hive.
I wonder if you can, if you like can knock down that hive or destroy it or something, and then all those bees will like build a new hive or something. That would be interesting.
I don't know. I could probably set it on fire. Cause
like there's weird, like it's almost like urban legend about this game going around. Oh, that does crazy shit, man. You got to see it.
I'll tell you another thing that it's a good example of the game not tutorializing something that doesn't need to be. It's just encouraging you to be like, hey, just try some shit out, see what happens. And there was another instance where I came across another camp, but what made this camp unusual was that there was a platform around a tree that had a drawbridge up, and so there were a couple of guys on this platform, and I was trying to aggro them by like shooting them with an arrow but not killing them, and because there were some chests up there and I like my loot. And I couldn't figure out how to get the drawbridge down. I was trying to get them to come after me, and they would never do it. But there was a fire nearby. So what I did was I equipped my bow and arrow, held it, like, you know, had it at the ready, put the tip of the arrow into the fire. It eventually caught fire. Then I shot it at the drawbridge, which burned the ropes holding the drawbridge in place so that it dropped that and I could go up and kill those dudes. And I could have just, I could have just killed them, but I was like, no, I want my stuff. And yeah. And it was just like, and then I mentioned that to somebody at work who's been playing the game, and he was like, oh, actually you can also do that by just swinging to the side of the drawbridge and firing an arrow right through the ropes holding it up if you've got your aim right. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess that would work too. So yeah, it's kind of in a weird way, like Battlegrounds, it is kind of a story generator of like, oh, you know, this unique set of circumstances occurred and this is what happened. And it does feel like, I'm going to forget the name of the game. What is the Dwarf Fortress like game where we have the cannibal?
Rimworld.
Yeah. So there seems to be an element of that as well, where you have all this stuff going on under the hood of the game that generates just weird shit sometimes. And it, you know, it's not quite that crazy. Like nobody's been a cannibal or nothing, but, yeah. But
they've created a world with a bunch of systems in it that you can fuck with and approach from different sides. Like it's just a free roam mode, right? So you can kind of just go anywhere, try anything.
Yeah. Like, once I got my bomb skill, I realized that you can remotely detonate those. So if I ran into a boggart camp, I could go up on a ridge, just let a bomb roll down into their camp and detonate it remotely.
Physics in games. I love physics in games.
That's awfully satisfying as well. So there's just a lot of little cool shit like that at work, and I haven't gotten deep into it at all because I haven't been playing it for the story a little
bit. That shit's almost like Far Cry as well. It's similar to that.
That's what I was just thinking.
Yeah.
But the other
sounds real good.
One other quick note about it that I think is kind of interesting and definitely is geared, I think, towards empowering the player is that you have towers in almost an Ubisoft manner. There are towers that you can climb so that you can see areas of interest, and but the thing is, it doesn't populate it on the map as a thing. It's just like, oh, there's a vague red glow, which probably means there's a shrine over there. So I can put a pin in the map, but the map doesn't automatically tell me what that is. And so there are a lot of times where you just see something from the top of a tower, and it's like, well, that looks like something. I'll drop a pin in that and just walk over to it and see what the fuck's going on over there. And that's kind of cool because it feels a little bit more immersive than it does video gamey, where It's like, okay, well, there are the three towers in this area that I'm going to climb, and that's going to unlock all these side missions. And, you know, the kind of the complaint I always had about Dragon Age Inquisition was that kind of repetitious side quest stuff that was the same in every area went to. And that's something that doesn't exist in this game. Everything feels very organic. Like when you run across something, it feels like you have this moment of discovery. And they actually play like the chime sounds that would play when you opened up a chest in the original Legend of Zelda. There's a version of that that happens when you open a chest in this game. So it's just full of warm fuzzies all over the place. Like it's a great game that also feels like, you know, such a love letter to the Zelda series that I'm, again, no expert, not a giant fan of, but even I played Legend of Zelda back in the day. And, you know, there are so many little moments where it's like, oh, this feels like they're almost remaking the original Legend of Zelda in some ways. But with all the open world shit and stuff. And, you know, the cliche of like, well, if you see that thing over there, you can go to it. This just feels like the evolution of that in a lot of ways.
It's like the best cliche ever, though. It's like, man, that's cool, though.
Right. And in this case, it like truly is kind of getting, like, there is some fast travel built into it when you unlock the towers and shrines. You can fast travel to those at any point. But
if you could combine a game like this with, like, the procedural generation of Minecraft, you'd really have something there.
Yeah, but I don't know that game wouldn't just be broken as fuck all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of the problem with Minecraft. it's too crazy almost.
Yeah, like there's too many choices, too many things to do. And this just feels more like, oh, hey, look, there's some ruins over there. I'm going to go check that out. And while I'm here, oh, I discovered this guardian and I'm going to fight him and get some, you know, decent gear. And I got some guardian parts. I don't know what the fuck to do with those yet, but that seems important. And oh, while I'm here, I just realized that there's a shrine over that ridge, so let me head that way now. You know,
how big is the world? Like I'm just looking at screenshots and it's just fucking gorgeous. Like every single screenshot is super nice looking.
I don't know. Like I don't feel like I'm deep enough into the game to really know. I know I'm about to unlock another part of the map. Because I can see it, I just can't get there yet. Yeah. And I'm not sure why, but I'm sure I'll run across some dude who's like, oh, go over here now. But I mean, because you're kind of walking everywhere, like I don't even have a horse yet. It genuinely feels giant. There are like, I run into some limitations, but they're only limitations because I don't have the appropriate tool or stamina to get there yet.
About 2.5 times the size of Skyrim.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Skyrim's fucking huge too, man.
Yeah. It's awfully good, and it's such a delight to just kind of kick back and, you know, I'll play it for a while in the easy chair, you know, kind of playing some of that, and it's one of those games that you can turn off the TV and I can bring the Wii pad into bed and play a little bit of Zelda that way too. So.
Oh man, it's almost worth just buying a Nintendo Wii.
or
a Wii U. That's right.
It really feels like if you wanted to buy a Wii U, there's never been a better time. You can get them super cheap these days, and they're really.
Although I did see a Switch in the wild the other day. I was at my son takes swim lessons at the Y, and we were at the YMCA, and one of the lifeguards was sitting on his break playing a fucking Switch. Just looked super awesome. He was playing Zelda on it. So,
yeah, that game does surprisingly well on that like Wii U pad. It's pretty cool. I've had a handful of nights where it's like, oh, well, Zelda's coming to bed with me tonight. And I don't mean that club-footed prostitute I normally use. I mean the game this time.
That's right. This time.
Yeah. But you could probably, like, I would not be surprised if you could find a Wii U for under $100 these days.
Wow.
And if you could do that and, get in on Breath of the Wild, and there's a solid five or six other games that, especially with Daniel getting into games at this point, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I could see where like some Mario Kart and stuff like that might be up his alley.
I always get lucky at garage sales, but I think it's a little too early to start finding. I've been finding Wii U games at garage sales, but I have not seen a console yet.
Yeah. 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 This one was a Craigslist special. So
nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's paid off. Game of the year for me last year, as well as man, Breath of the Wild is going to be a contender, man. It's awfully good. But yeah, so that's what I've been playing. How about we take a quick break here and then do some news and then go murder people in Battleground. So that's our evening, listeners. Join us, won't you?
Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this Earth?
Destroy it utterly. Send Rick and Benny in Wool Rocket Ajax.
So, just destroy it?
That's what Ming said. Don't you ever listen?
Well, there's no arguing with Ming.
Hail Ming. Wait! You see those transmissions on the Visua screen?
Crow? Nightmare on Elm Street?
Chud 2? Black Belt Jones?
Nightbreed?
What's a critter?
Oh, I've seen those things.
Flash? I guess we could wait a while before the destruction.
Yeah, and watch the movies.
And talk about them.
The Hell Ming Power Hour. Disobedience to Ming. For now.
You can find us at Legion Podcast.
You can find us on Facebook.
iTunes.
We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram.
At You know what? Just Google it for yourself.
Just Google it, you bastages.
Hell Ming.
Breaking 2? Electric Boogaloo?
Samurai Cop?
Army of Darkness?
Flash Dance?
We might destroy the planet if it's Flash Dance.
Man, I was running around Saturday and had the like most all-encompassing urge to get a canned Coke. It was one of those things like I was just like, man, I would step over my own mother right now. But I didn't have to do that. It turns out they just sell them. So but yeah, I did. I got into a canned Coke, which I hadn't had in a long time, and I think it's tasty.
I have a couple of those a week.
I like a good fountain Coke as well, but boy, those canned Cokes.
Give me one of those HO and Mexico Cokes.
Oh well, sure.
Yeah. That's a fucking Coke, choice. Man.
When urination happens. No, when news happens.
When your nation happens?
Yes.
Yeah.
When
your nation.
Yeah, our nation's happening all over the fucking place right now.
When video games happen to your nation, we employ the talents and the skills of one John Dolan to report back. Sir, what is going on in video games?
Your nation?
All right. And that's the Shotcast. I want to think, is there more?
It's like the cleanest pee jokes we've ever told on this show. Well, the penis is the urine comes out of the. It's very clinical tonight. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I'm not feeling it.
You just don't feel like truly vulgar. Is that the problem? Should we throw on some porn in the background?
Sure. Yeah, just fire that up in the Discord.
The soul is a little bit too squeaky clean tonight.
Just type in play Ron Jeremy into the Discord chat. And
oh, man, that will.
See what happens.
God, that'll make you feel filthy.
Yeah.
Especially like latter day, like, you know, the retirement tour. Ron Jeremy is not where you want to land on that. All right.
No more putting on airs tour.
Yeah, right. He's like, yep, just one more go around for this old hedgehog.
Ron Jeremy. Raw. No.
By raw, I mean with gout.
Yeah.
Fred Garvin.
Male breast.
No ifs, ands, or buts, young lady. Yeah. Oh, man. Dan Aykroyd in his prime.
Top notch.
Mm-hmm.
News happens in the world of video games. That's what happens.
Yeah, I covered all that. What okay. News in particular?
I forget if this happened before the last show, but did we talk about the fact that Square Enix had cut IO Interactive, makers of Hitman, loose?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe we did.
Okay. that story's only gotten more sad. Report came out that IO Interactive has laid off some staff, some cutbacks. There is no further news on whether or not there are any deals to buy IO Interactive by anyone. I can only assume that those talks are in the works. There's not a whole lot of... Like, I feel like Hitman was enough of a success that somebody's going to pick them up and put out Season 2 for that game and make sure that happens. But, you know.
Yeah, you got to think.
Yeah.
You're going to make money off that.
Yeah, so... Like, there's a proven property. It was very popular. Like, why wouldn't... You know, I can only assume it's just negotiations are occurring, so...
Yeah, that's a real bummer.
Yeah, it's like they finally turned it around and got Hitman like really super good again, and it got popular, and the weird distribution model, like everything clicked all at once for them, and then, you know, nope. So I'm curious, like there's not really any reporting about why this is happening, why Square Enix would do that. Like, was it not as profitable as it seemed? I don't know.
Well,
it's strange.
This is Square Enix that... had problems with the sales on Tomb Raider.
Well, and Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, that game didn't really blow the doors off anything. So
I think they said it did better.
It's Final Fantasy. Probably sells to the core group, but it didn't sound like it was some, you know, mega hit or anything. I don't know.
Yeah, regardless of how that sold, you know, but like they've got Final Fantasy, they've got the Tomb Raider franchise, yeah, which is doing well, and they've got Hitman. I mean, I'm sure there are others that we don't play, but those are the ones I know about. And it just seems weird to me that they're giving up, you know, one of the three.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious what the hell they're thinking.
Right. And more importantly, like, are we going to get a season two? Because,
well, it's certainly going to be delayed now, I would assume. There was no solid, you know, concrete plans for it or anything, but like whatever those were, I'm sure are out the window at this point. So, I mean, I've heard speculation that these layoffs are just regular end of project rundown where certain personnel aren't needed anymore because they're kind of like finished season one and now season two. So maybe employees with skills that are used more towards the end of a project aren't needed right now, like that kind of speculation. But I don't know. It makes me nervous because that game was really good and I want to see more of it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I was late to the party on that game, but it's awfully good.
Yeah. We'll stick with the bad news. It's not that bad. Red Dead Redemption 2 has been officially delayed to 2018. Previously, it was supposed to come out holiday season of this year. They're saying late spring of 2018. I'm fine with this. I would rather that game be done and awesome.
Yeah, it's done when it's done.
Yeah, like don't. Like they pushed like GTA 5 got pushed a bunch of times, and then the PC version, yeah. that's the thing I'm worried about the most, is the PC version didn't come out for like a year and a half after the console versions of GTA 5. And they still have not announced Red Dead Redemption 2 for PC.
Oh, I fully imagine that it'll be a while before. Yeah. I think it'd be like probably the exact same situation.
Yeah.
That you got to think how many double purchases they got off.
Oh, yeah. I bought that game 3 times. That's exactly what they're doing. Like, they're going to put it out on consoles. They're going to put it out. Yeah. So I really want to play that game on PC.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be so good.
I just want to play it. I don't care where it is. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, who I have to betray. It doesn't matter to me. I just want the game.
I need to be okay with not buying it twice, I think, because with GTA 5, it was such a, like, the graphics improvement from console to PC was so huge that it was just totally worth it just to see how good that game could look. But I think I just need to be okay with not being obsessed with that and just get it when it comes out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you want to play that game, like, don't... Yeah, like, it's the GTA 5 thing, but the positive, like, if you play that game and love it, and it's so good that they announce it for PC, and you're like, I kind of want to see what it looks like on the PC, I'll play that again, then by all means, let your conscience be your guide. Just don't bitch when they do it, because they're totally going to do it.
Yeah. Let's see here. So, yeah, after they announced that delay, I put this story in here because I always find this stuff interesting. Their stock went down like 7 points. And I always, in those moments, whenever they announce, man, stock on such and such dropped. And then you think, well, they've got a really big game coming out. Should I buy some Take-Two stock?
Well, I figure it's just, I immediately just think, here's someone who had a bunch of stock, and they're like, well, if I'll sell it, it'll go down a bunch, and then I'll just rebuy at a lower price. And then I've got, I mean, you already know, like, if you can get any stock, any amount, when that game comes out, you're going to make money. There's going to be a profit turned just based on the GTA 5, what happened when that came out.
That game's insane. Like, I didn't include a story, but I saw one this week where GTA 5 has made like $80 billion. Fucking dollars or something. It's insane money. It's crazy.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, that is the GDP of like 3 countries combined.
it's unbelievable.
But
like, screw you, Moldova.
Like, I haven't done it in a while, by which I mean play GTA online. That's what I was getting at. Just poor phrasing. But you know, that continues to churn out money, and they're announcing new shit for that all the time, too.
Yeah. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
They could give away Red Dead 2 for free, you know, just a hint, and they would still be fine. You just charge, you know, $5 for a special jacket for DLC and done.
Every time your horse dies, you have to pay 75 cents.
Oh, that's fine. You just steal them fuckers. You don't have to spawn them. Kill any witnesses. That's how you play that game. Tie them up, throw them on the tracks, let justice sort itself out.
Have you guys watched any of the Destiny 2 stuff?
I watched quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah?
I watched one of the videos and said, what is going on?
What is this?
they're in some armor, but they're space people. But it looks like knights, Templar type stuff.
Did they say they were on Earth? What is happening?
Yeah, I was like, well, I thought y'all guys just shot people, and it was supposed to be fun.
Yeah, it is.
And we didn't care about this part of the game.
Yeah. No, we didn't care about it last time either. That's what's great about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. All of this stuff, it's just there. It's like things that are happening around you while you murder people. That's what it is.
It's all
like, it's got to be there.
Yeah.
It's all I want. That is all I want.
It looks real nice. Like, if as long as the shooting works the same way, that's all I need.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally looks like they just made another Destiny game instead of really overhauling that thing. Like, I don't know how deep you went into like seeing what the menu screens look like and stuff like that, or the inventory screens, and it's all Destiny. It is.
Oh yeah, it looks exactly the same.
Yeah, I am. But you know, if we can play on PC, and that's what's got me excited, is like now all of us can play together instead of it just being, you know, me and Dolan and Power Listener Andy.
Yeah, somebody did like a preview of it, and one of their comments was playing the PC. I think it was this article that I sent out. He said playing the PC version with mouse and keyboard, one of the things that he immediately noticed was like the hand cannons, the pistols became that much more useful because you could just aim better with them. That sounds cool. Like, I'm interested to see how that feels on a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that sounds like a great deal of fun. I'll tell you one thing that did bum me out though, is when they were doing video of a strike, one of the first things that they showed was a platforming sequence to get to the area. And I was the one thing I hated most about Destiny was the goddamn platforming that they
just right in the middle of something, like just completely fucking up the flow of a couple of those levels. Jump across this chasm. Oh, by the way, the things you land on don't appear until after you jumped. Isn't that fun?
Well, yeah.
It's the fucking worst, man.
Knock it off.
Just get me to the killing, will you?
Yeah. All I want to do is run around and shoot stuff. And when Destiny is doing that, it's a great game.
Yeah. Excited about this. Like, it's been long enough since I played Destiny to the end. I went back and kind of, we had another friend that got it, and then I went back and played some of the early game for a second time, and I got enough of that game, and I haven't played it since, and it's far enough away now where I'm ready to do another one of those, so it's gonna be good.
Yeah, and the fact that we can open it up to more people that we like to play video games with,
yeah,
fantastic. So yep. Justin, you are playing Destiny 2, son.
Oh yeah, no, I'm getting that. Yeah, that's happening.
Yeah,
that'll happen.
Far Cry 5 was announced.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
That was exactly my reaction to it, of just like, oh, okay.
Oh,
cool. It's in America now. And it's just like it's like Jim Jones or... Honestly, the premise of this one, to me, seems like it's going to be the most restrictive of all these games in terms of open world. Like, cool, you're putting it in Montana, but I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel like it's just not a cool setting, I guess, or something. I don't know. I wanted these games to get bigger and bigger instead of just, now we're just going to set them in different places. It's the same story every time. Like, it's always been like a tropical game.
Yeah.
And I get wanting to move it, but I felt like there's maybe a different direction you could go with Far Cry, as opposed to just like, well, now it's in America, and I'm playing this kind of guy.
The thing that impresses me most about new Far Cry games is the tech kind of behind it all. Like the first time, I think it was probably Far Cry 3, and the first time I threw like a Molotov and it blew up on some grass and the fire started spreading. I was like, oh, that's cool. The fire spreads. But then like the fire really fucking started to spread. And it was like, oh shit, this is dangerous. I actually need to move. Like that stuff gets a little bit better with each one of these games to the point where it starts to become kind of massive and impressive just as a system. Like I really like that kind of stuff about Far Cry, where it's got that emergent gameplay. Like you know, you end up doing like the fucking towers to clear areas and shit like that. Like that's always going to be in Far Cry games.
Yeah.
But when, you know, in the last one, you could go to one of those towers and like light shit on fire around it. And like, it was like we were kind of talking about with Breath of the Wild, where there's just that, here's a bunch of shit that you can do in this space that reacts to these things go crazy. So I enjoy that aspect of the Far Cry series. Like, I never finished 4. I actually played probably more of 4 than I did of 3. That was a really good game. But, I mean, you're not wrong. There's just kind of like a formula to those. They could really blow this series up and make it super popular by just kind of veering off from that in a strong way. You know, find some fun niche within those systems and concentrate on that. I don't know. I never played the last one. What was the... Primal.
No, no, I never did either.
Yeah, it got mixed reviews. I've talked to some people that really liked it, but I haven't tried that one yet. Looks interesting.
Yeah,
I like killing. I like killing religious white people.
I just feel like after Mafia 3, I'm on board.
I also feel like after playing Wildlands, I don't really have much of an interest to play the Far Cry series as much anymore. Like, I always played the Far Cry games, wanting it to be more like what Wildlands is, and then now that that's a thing, I'm like, well, as long as they keep making these, even though I haven't like finished everything in Wildlands, it's just massive.
Yeah,
and that's one that
almost to its detriment. Like, it's just like Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on there. They certainly, you know. Hey, you know, be careful what you wish for, kind of situation. I think, you know. Yeah.
But I know I could like one. I feel like I could go back to that game anytime, just like I could go back to Borderlands, because it's like, Borderlands, that's fucking fun still. Let's go play that for a while.
Yeah, all that is a Saturday of me being bored and me going, you know what? I should just fire that up, and then there's like 4 hours gone for sure.
I feel like playing some Wildlands. Let's do it. Yeah. It's a good game for that. Yep. Let's see. I don't know if you guys saw the trailer. It's like a live action trailer for Far Cry 5.
No.
It's like a guy running across a field and it cuts to black and you hear a gunshot. But the best part of it was it goes rolling up on this little church that's out in the middle of like this grassy field, and there's, you know, Montana mountains way off in the distance, and you hear the church bell ringing, and the camera is just, it's like a drone shot. Like, the camera is just high enough off the ground that you can see into the bell tower, and you can see at first a figure up there, and it looks like he's manually ringing the bell. And then as the camera goes by, it's that he's actually got a guy up there and he's banging his head into the bell.
It's pretty good.
It's fantastic.
That's all right.
It just fades to black, and that's the end of the trailer. It's just like, oh shit. And you hear like a choir singing inside the church while he's doing that. It's fucking great.
Are they singing You Can't Always Get What You Want? Because that's how you know you're in a cult, is if your hymns are stone songs.
All right, everybody come breed with the leader.
That's right. Yeah, if you see a 14-year-old girl pregnant and a choir is singing the Stones, you need to run the fuck out of there as quick as possible.
Call the police.
Uh-huh.
Crackdown 3, actually in the headlines. Haven't heard anything about this game forever. It was announced that it will be an Xbox Play Anywhere game, which means if you own it on Xbox One, you can also play it on PC, and you can just switch back and forth, and you buy it on one, you own it on the other. There hasn't been a lot revealed yet. This is kind of like the first I've seen this game come back out of just Vaporville. It was gone for a long time.
Yeah.
You have to assume they're announcing something at E3 for this game.
Well, if they're already, if you're getting leaks now saying like, oh, it's going to be Play Anywhere, I would imagine they're going to say that's going to be what, a fall title, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe holiday 2017.
Right. I mean, that game's been in development long enough, and they've been,
it was originally announced at Gamescom in 2015.
And is there the rabid fan base for a Crackdown game, you know?
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, the second one wasn't that great.
Yeah, I mean, I get the first one. That was great, but that was Xbox 360?
Yeah, I mean, that was like one of like the launch games for the 360, I think. Yeah, it's been a while since it, and the second one had like some weird zombie shit going on in it, kind of at like the height of the zombies in games craze, and it wasn't all that fun. But, I mean, this one supposedly has all these and like I said, I haven't seen anything about this game for a while, but the last time they showed it, they were showing off just some insane physics, like whole buildings falling down after you like blow out the struts on it and shit. Like, it looked nuts. So
I guess that game has always had a pretty strong tech background to it, because it was a very big game when it came out.
It was just the verticality of it. It was kind of the first game that really did verticality well. Yeah, I'm really interested to see what it is. So,
can I?
Back in the news.
There is a tweet from @Crackdown on Twitter from Monday, that says, "Happy Monday, everyone. The mood in the air is palpable. We're getting closer and closer to sharing so much with you. Hope you're ready." That's got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've almost got this out. That's cool. I didn't play a ton of Crackdown 2, but I played the shit out of Crackdown, and that game was great.
Yeah. Like, I think I beat that game, and then I figured out there was that Keys to the City. It wasn't a hack, like it was, but the way you had to like load it over the game, it was really weird, but it was something that they released, and it was basically just a cheat engine for the game. Like they put out an expansion that was free that added a menu to the game where you could just spawn anything you wanted.
Yeah, I think I remember this too.
Yeah, it was cool. Like you could immediately max your character out, like maximum jump, maximum speed. You could drop a car and the way that game worked was cool because your character had a certain level. So when you came across a vehicle that you could drive and you got in the vehicle, it would morph into a more powerful vehicle based on your stats of your character, which was a really cool way to do that. Yeah, that game was all right, man. I wonder if I still got a copy of that.
I do, as a matter of fact.
I think I do, too.
I could put hands on that within 2 minutes.
Son, this is called Crackdown.
Go.
Yeah, that looks all right. We talked about some Battlegrounds. I just put in that zombie mode. That looks really cool. But it sounds like from what you were saying, Justin, that you have to get people to agree on your server to kind of participate in that mode.
Yeah, this was more of, I mean, this is just a normal game. And as I read it, that a guy just said, "Hey, we're going to join this game. Only the people in my squad can get weapons. Everyone else has to, like, you know, get down to their skivvies and only use like melee weapons."
Melee weapons, yeah. And like 100 people just agreed to play a game with us.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
But I mean, that video's nuts, and they're working together. I mean, if you watch the whole thing, like they're like setting up traps for them. They're hiding behind. There's like a point where they're like trying to get across the bridge, and they basically have been funneled to the bridge, and there's just like 50 dudes waiting behind a couple of those cars, just waiting for them.
That's fucking great.
I mean, just, you know, and it's just nuts. And, you know, that seems like they're going to be a very easy thing. You queue up 100 people in a match, you RNG one squad.
Yep.
And that could be a guy who's playing singles in a squad game. You know what I mean? Even if, which would just be insane. And
one
then
versus 99.
Yeah, and then you put that squad in their own voice channel, and you put everyone else, or you leave everyone else in their squads, and let it be where they can all talk to each other or something.
Well, because it's got that open mic system where you just hear other people talking, so it would totally work.
And that would just be, I would sit down and play that for a couple hours, as long as, I mean, even being a zombie sounds like it would be fun.
Yeah.
As long as you're close to, maybe there's some system where you can come back if you get killed, or who knows.
Yeah, I mean, just endlessly respawn the people that are chosen as zombies, so that there's just a fucking deluge. Like, there's constantly, you know, 96 zombies on the server chasing you around. Yeah, that would be fucking cool.
It sounds horrifying. The game is tense enough.
It solves so many problems of like a horde zombie game that you would want, because then you don't have to do any AI. Yeah. So you don't have a server that's trying to tax itself.
You just outsort that shit to a bunch of shitty humans.
Yeah. Get it to people who just, or, you know, this is even crazier, is you have it where if you kill one of the people, you get to, you're them, or you know what I mean? Like you spawn somewhere close by with all their stuff, and now you're just swapping it out the whole thing.
Yeah.
That would just be insane.
That's that mechanic, like that game Crawl I talked about last week, is basically that, where when you kill the hero, you become the hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are the Walking Dead. Awesome.
Yeah.
DayZ update, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Vive is got a little webpage up advertising a new VR headset that doesn't attach to a PC, and you don't stick your phone in it to make it work. And it's just called
Reality.
The Vive Standalone? No phone, yeah. No PC, standalone VR, says the front page of Vive.com.
And it's interesting. It doesn't play games. It just shows you the movie The Lawnmower Man over and over.
Yes.
I'm going to have to reconsider then.
It costs negative $20.
Yeah. All right. You already have one. Turn around. It's right there. Yeah, I'm curious to know what this is. Like, they just put out this little teaser and then nothing. So,
if it is actually, I mean, from the little thing at the bottom, the silhouette, it looks to me like standalone VR with Daydream, and the Daydream is for your phone.
Yeah,
it does say no PC, which maybe that just means like, you're not even. It's not even that. It's not that it can play the PC games. It's just no PC, and they're just trying to be clever in here and. They're like, they can say that, you know, we can get away with that.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, it's the future to, if you could play all the Steam games on a headset by itself.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because totally. You that's, want it all
exactly
on one.
That's exactly what I want. I don't want a fucking wire hooked up to my head. Fuck that. That's the past. It's like ancient technology.
As long as it plays everything, you know, as long as we don't get into a console market with VR headsets, you know, as long as it's an open system that will play, you know, almost like a Steam box where like you're like, okay, well, it'll play up to kind of like this level of game.
Yeah, maybe.
You just buy the one that's, you know, you can spend $3,000 on the one that'll play all of the VR games and then the ones for the next year. It just becomes a PC at that point. It's just a different kind of PC.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good analogy. Excited to see what that is.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right, now we're getting into the real shit here.
Uh-oh.
Minecraft. I believe this is only in the PC version for all of you out there that are still playing that and listening to the Shotcast. I actually check in on the PC version once in a while, make sure all my holes are cleaned out, you know, in the game.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Phrasing.
Got real quiet there. Parrots. They are adding parrots to the game, and one of the things they did was, one of the items in the game was chocolate chip cookies, and they didn't really have a purpose other than you could eat them as the player and get a little health back. So they made it so that you could feed parrots the chocolate chip cookies, and that would, like, heal them and stuff. And then a bunch of people went apeshit, because apparently parrots will die if they eat chocolate. So there's the "won't someone please think of the children" uproar, and now they're going to make it so you don't feed virtual parrots chocolate chip cookies so that some kid doesn't feed a real parrot one.
Hey, I got a question for you. In the Minecraft, in this game, you murder pigs with swords and then eat the raw meat.
Yeah,
that's accurate.
To gain your health back.
Yeah.
And we're getting our collective panties in a wad.
Yeah. You can drop people into a pit of lava and burn them alive in that game.
I mean,
there
if
are
great
monsters
right.
that blow up in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
not in the middle of the night, only when the daylight comes.
That's right.
Sorry.
You can build a machine that harvests these beasts in the cruelest of manner possible. But don't feed a fucking parrot a chocolate chip cookie.
Layers of hell that even Virgil could not navigate through.
Yeah. But don't feed a fucking parrot a chocolate chip cookie. Too far. That is too far.
And, you know, I'm just going to go out on the limb here and say, why don't you make the mod that adds the bird seed?
Yeah.
And, you know, just mods the game. And then you can have 800 million people who are OCD about parrots download your mod that makes the parrot mechanics correct again.
Yeah. Or just make it so that the parrots will eat any food you put in front of them like a real parrot. And then if they eat chocolate, that's their fucking problem.
Yeah, I like it.
Stupid parrot.
Survival of the parrot fittest. That's what we're about on this show.
Dumbass. You haven't evolved to know that that smell is something you should not eat? Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, if you're taking the controversial stance that parrots are stupid, I'm afraid I may be on your side. They seem like real dumb birds. I don't care for birds that much to begin with.
I had a pet parakeet when I was a kid, and it fucking died while I was at school. And my mom was really upset about having to tell me about it when I came home from school. And this was when I was really young. And she told me, I came home from school and she said, "I'm sorry, I have to tell you some really bad news." And I was like, "Well, what?" And she said, "Well," and his name was Tweety, of course. Fucking Tweety died.
That was a suicide, not a death.
And apparently I went, "Oh," and walked away.
That is exactly the right reaction.
Because that bird would fucking chirp all night. It would never shut up. I fucking hated that thing. Ugh,
yeah, I mean, having a pet bird in the beginning, I mean, just outright is like, I'm going to be the most selfish human being that I can possibly
be. I'm going to cage this thing that can fly. Yeah, I'm going to keep it inside for myself.
Let me just clip those wings. You don't need those.
Bird haters on the Shoutcast.
I'm going to teach you to
bird lover haters as well. It's harsh.
I mean, look, hey, I knew
it would get dark if I put this story in the news.
Yeah. I like having pets. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against having pets.
Not at all.
But birds as pets, that is just stupid.
I don't see it. I don't like it.
It's just stupid.
Yeah.
It's like those people that have
a leopard or something that's a pet. It's like, no, that thing's going to kill you.
No. Yeah.
Stupid. That's really stupid.
One missed meal away from the worst day of your life.
Pet rattlesnake, huh? Yeah. Oh, you like alligators? Yeah, you got some in your backyard? Good idea. It's a great idea. Get some more alligators.
I feel horrible about saying this, but when that little baby got eaten by an alligator, last year, my initial reaction to that news was, "God damn, I bet that was something to see."
Wow,
it's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, like I'm not advocating the baby eating of alligators at large.
Absolutely not. That's terrible that happened, but wow.
But you're like, if it's going to happen, maybe there's a video camera there?
I would, yeah. I mean,
it's just already going to happen.
If I knew for a fact, like if I could time travel, then I'd probably, you know,
save
the baby.
Did you see the video of that girl that got pulled into the water by a fucking sea lion?
Yes.
Yeah, that's some terrifying stuff.
Don't fuck with nature. People are so stupid.
I saw so many people posting that, like comically commenting on it, and I'm like, no, that thing was trying to fucking eat her. Yeah, that wasn't ha.
Yeah.
That was, no, he's going to rip that little girl limb from limb.
Yeah, like, that's video of a sea lion being smarter than a human being.
Yeah. Which honestly probably happens more often than you'd like to think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a wild animal that eats fucking penguins, man. Whole. That's a big bird.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with those. Don't do it.
Well, but that's the craziest fucking thing about just zoos in general to me. Like, I'm not a big fan of zoos. I think
neither am I.
Me either.
It's kind of cruel.
It gets depressing.
Yeah. After you go by the, you know, the big ape cage and you see some gorilla sitting in the middle of Tennessee wondering how the fuck this happened.
Yep.
You're just like, oh man, I can't do this. I can't support this. Point being, like, I think that there is something just natively awful about people wanting to cage something just because of that selfish urge of like, well, I want to look at a giraffe.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to where the giraffes are. I want them to come to me.
Yeah. It's really fucked up. Like, my wife is a scientist, and when we first started dating, we kind of like got into a lot of like the ethical discussions of the work that she does. And one of the things she said that really struck me was, someday in the not too distant future, we're going to feel really bad about what we did to monkeys. I feel really bad. We're going to discover something about them or learn to communicate with them somehow. And even the shit, like, you see the stories about, we're getting real off track here.
That's fine. It's fine.
You see the stories about, like, what was the ape that had the kitten? Coco?
Oh, God, I watch every documentary about Coco there is.
And when the fucking cat dies, like,
yeah,
man,
like the ape is super fucking sad and it's so obvious, and you're just like, oh, that is soul crushing.
Right, like, yeah. I mean, there's a reason that we eventually get to a Planet of the Apes, according to those documentaries.
future documentaries where they filmed the future.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen them. That's real. That's real life. I mean, at some point, I would not be stunned if I just woke up one day with an ape at my door, like, look. Things are changing.
Come out of the house, motherfucker.
Right.
Mine now.
You've got some real decisions to make, and you got to make them fast. Whose side are you on? Yours. Totally yours. I'm on the monkey side of everything.
All yours, yeah.
Like, is there a way?
I love your movies. Congo is great.
Do you need money or bananas? Like, what can I do to support the cause here?
You were great in that Clint Eastwood flick. That was hilarious.
Yeah, you were great.
Oh, but you don't want to make a finger gun at a monkey that's come knocking for you. It's a good way to end up working in the banana mines or whatever.
I knew that including a Minecraft story was the right choice.
Yeah, wow.
All right, so the big finish then. Maybe I should just start reading one of these articles.
I don't know what you're laughing at. This is serious business. Like, these monkeys have been pushed to the side for too long. They are America's silent majority.
I'm just going to start reading this article. This is on Rock, Paper, Shotgun.
All right.
This is about the game Second Life. Virtual rabbits across Second Life will fall asleep on Saturday, then never wake up now that their digital food supply has been shut down by a legal battle.
It's fucking great.
So absurd.
Do they die? Do they leave corpses?
So what is happening here is in the game Second Life, which has been around forever, and every time I hear that it's still a thing, I'm like, really? That's still operating.
Well, I've got some videos to send you then that'll make you laugh a lot.
But it's as with everything in that game, it's just all a part of like a big economy. Like, things, you can create items in Second Life that you could sell. Like, there's real estate in Second Life and you can sell it for a profit, and you can make, I don't know, clothes and sell those in the game. So somebody came up with the idea that they would make these little pets. And one of them is a virtual rabbit, and you could buy these rabbits, and they came, like, you would buy like an egg or something, or I don't know how the rabbits came exactly, but it was, you would open it up like it was a loot crate. And so there was a chance that you would get a rare rabbit, which was worth more. So then what you could do as a player of Second Life is, if you had two rare rabbits, you could breed them to produce your own rabbit eggs, which then you could sell in the game.
So, or they could purchase Song of the South's rare rabbit.
Sorry. The story is ridiculous, man. So, but all the while, so, all right. Oh, hey, yeah, I totally want to get into the virtual rabbit breeding business. I'll do that. I'll get to buy 100 of these things and eventually get two rare ones and breed them and start selling them. But you have to feed your rabbits, and what you feed your rabbit is DRM food that you pay money for. So the guys that originally wrote like the code and the scripting behind the rabbits also sell you digital food for these rabbits.
Okay.
And if they don't eat, they die. So the company that used to sell the rabbits and the food, like, there was several people involved in it, I guess, and it all flew apart, as those things do when money is involved. And I guess the company that actually sold the rabbits and the food went out of business like 6 or 8 months ago, and one of the guys just kind of kept selling stuff.
That seems illegal.
And so, and this food, like with the DRM stuff on it, the food actually, before your rabbit can consume it in the game, you need to be, like, it's obviously an online game, but you need to be online because the rabbit communicates with the database server of the place that sells the rabbit and the food and make sure that it's an official food that they sold. It's like an encrypted key attached to it. And then your rabbit can consume it and not die. So they're getting their money no matter what, or your fucking rabbit's dead.
All right. And then
so he got a cease and desist order from the other people involved in this, who, like, a programmer was involved, and he did, says he hasn't been properly compensated for the work that he did on these systems. And there's some other guy involved. And so the guy who was still running the website said, it's not worth it. What is it? I received a cease and desist letter from a legal counsel representing Edward Distelhurst and Akimeta Limited. This letter demands that I cease all use of Ozimals intellectual property. I don't personally agree with this claim, but I do not have the means to fight this in court. Therefore, I have no choice but to comply. I think that second statement is bullshit because this guy was selling fake digital food for years. I bet he's got tons of money.
Oh, yeah.
He just doesn't want to spend any of it in court.
Man, I love the idea of just like digital fields filled with dead virtual rabbits.
So, where's the other one here? They sold another thing that was called pufflings. And so apparently, they were birds.
Fucking birds, back to birds. All right.
No, when they turned the server off and there was no longer a database to communicate with, all of the pufflings in the game that anyone had ever spent money on just disappeared. Thin air.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled. Was convincing That's right. you that pufflings were real.
But the rabbits don't disappear. They will, because the rabbit is the persistent item, it would be the food that would disappear because that has to communicate with the database. The rabbit doesn't. The rabbit, once you buy it, the rabbit's in your game, but it will, they don't actually die. What they do is they lay down and hibernate, quote, forever. Just kind of like dying.
Yeah, kids. Yeah, that's how that works.
That sounds like eternal sleep. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the terminology from this company. Like, they don't actually die. Your rabbits will just hibernate.
They just lay down and contemplate eternity.
So, before the servers got shut down, there was this mad rush. The developer guy was selling, of course, a object that would make your rabbit immortal, so it would no longer have to eat, so you could still have your rabbit, but it also made it sterile, so you could no longer breed it.
Oh, so you
rules,
could,
guys, so many rules.
So you could keep the fake rabbits you had, you just but could no never more. Breed them again, so you can't make money right. off of it.
Because, so. And it's fascinating because that's a digitally licensed object that somebody made. And they own the code and said, you can't use this anymore. So you can't breed them anymore because you'd be creating more of their copyrighted thing, which
right.
is
a digital.
It's just like a pyramid scheme. It's like, you can make eggs and you can sell eggs, but
yeah,
you need the whatever.
You gotta buy the food, to, man. You gotta buy
food. You need the food from us. So it's always trickling back to us. You want more eggs? Oh, you need more food.
Like, they're literally selling nothing. It's a bunch of bits floating around.
That's Star Citizen right now.
Yeah, totally. It's fascinating. An idea. See it like broken down like to that granular level where it's like, yeah, your rabbits are going to fucking die.
All the rabbits are going to die.
Yeah.
You know how many thousands of dollars you put into your egg business with the rabbits? Yeah, it's all.
Your bunny all farm.
Yeah. It's all over.
It's gone. It's so interesting. Like that,
you're gonna need some digital lie to put over
dead. Cauldrons. I got cauldrons here. Anyone need a cauldron? Cauldrons for sale.
I'm starting to sell digital urns if anyone's in the market.
There's a run on lighter fluid. Just can't find it anywhere in the game.
What a digital stink that would make.
Nobody's got any lighter fluid. You burn these rabbits.
The way that this could be better is if they came back as virtual rabbit ghosts. that just roamed your digital lands.
They just like, if you had thousands of them, they just follow you everywhere. Why didn't you feed me?
Dave? Right. It's all just questioning your, like, why did you let this happen to us?
Dave, why didn't you buy the immortality?
All we ever did is exactly.
And then the immortal ones
wanted.
Are following you around just going, kill me.
No, they're destined to fight each other until there's only one left.
Second Life's battleground, where one immortal rabbit fights another to the death.
Fucking rabbit Highlander, man, that's great.
There can be. Oh,
if only they were smart enough to do that. Yes. Christ. Oh, you can take control of your rabbit and go try to murder the other eternal rabbits. If only we were running the show.
Like, I want to shit all over Second Life, but this is so fucking fascinating that I can't. Like,
it's
for that to be able to exist in a thing is very pleasing to me.
It's kind of that Eve thing, you know?
Yeah. I can't wait to watch a video of someone crying because their rabbits are dead. When is this supposed to happen?
Oh, it's happened. Yeah,
it's done. This is it happened? With. It's
yeah.
done? It
happened, yes.
Oh, my God. All
to
right.
the YouTube.
To the tubes we go.
Hold on, let's find out if this is a real thing.
The Digital Suffering Channel.
What were they called? Ozimals? How do you spell
Ozimals.
That?
Ozimals.
Okay.
I'm not looking at it. Hold on. Ozimals.
All right.
Yeah. And don't forget about the Pufflings, because it's just like they were never here.
God, I'm so bad at
learning
how to sort by time, upload date.
Anything?
No. I think maybe we were.
I think there's a market. I think we just found a hole in the market.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bereavement videos for your Ozimals and Pufflings.
We'll do them for a price. And if you're going to buy stupid, not real food.
Yeah.
Surely you will pay us to feign remorse.
The Shodcast Funeral Parlor in Second Life.
God, man, every day we are just walking over money. You know?
We're so close to it.
All right,
and
here's
never
the thing.
Reach out and grab it.
We're all gonna quit our jobs.
Okay.
And then we're gonna be the first Second Life funeral home
for Ozimals,
for everyone. Let's not look, if you want to bury your rabbit, great, we've got a box for that.
Gotta be somebody selling like funeral plots in Second Life. Even if there's not like a death mechanic in the game, I bet somebody is selling funeral plots in that game.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, we've got the elite package. And then, over here, you know, there's got to be something like that.
Yeah.
Do you want the designer coffin for your Ozimal that is connected to YouTube so that they can watch?
Also, here's one.
Puffling videos.
Here's one where we tie a string to their toe with a bell above ground. So if they ever come back to life, the bell rings and then we can dig them up. It's the executive package.
Endless possibilities.
Yeah.
That's the news.
Boy, a lot has happened. I'm always amazed when, you know, you get that peek into a world that is not your own, but seems absolutely fascinating. I wonder, you just got to wonder how often that, like, how much time would you have to spend feeding these things?
I don't know.
And how much money are you making off of that?
Like, I never enjoyed that mechanic in a game. Like, I remember when Facebook games kind of blew up and, like, Mafia Wars got big. And my brother, who is not into video games at all, kind of got into those, like, the simplicity of those clickers. And he called me up one day and he said, hey, I'm out of town with my girlfriend, but I forgot to feed my Facebook fish. Here's my login. Can you feed my fish for me? And I said, fuck no.
You're dead now.
You're going to die.
But now that I have your login, your life's going to get a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm not going to feed your fish, man.
Boy, this has been...
I hate that mechanic in games, man.
For one segment of this show being very pro-animal, I feel like, it's been real anti-pet. And
a bunch of digital trash, man. This is where the war starts. This is how Skynet happens.
Why did you kill all my rabbits, Dave?
You got enough fed up dead rabbits.
You couldn't have just let us eat and have sex? No. That's it. That's the last straw. The rabbits are taking over.
That's another knock you don't want at the front
team
door.
Up with the fucking monkeys and we're done.
Man. The ape Osimal alliance is going to end us all.
It's too many angles to cover. The apes are up high, the rabbits are down low. You can't do that.
And you know them gorillas are thinkers. They're plotting all kinds of stuff and just using these digital rabbits as cannon fodder.
Rabbits got numbers too, man.
Yes.
They swarm.
There's probably one for every man, woman, and child on this planet. So that's the Shotcast. Let's pass it around one more time to see what everyone's going to be playing in the coming fortnight. Justin, how about yourself?
I am going to purchase Superhot VR because it just released for the Vive.
That is so good.
That's a cool game. I wish I could play in VR.
Oh, man. So good. John, how about yourself?
I'm just thinking about playing some more PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. I have not looked through my library to identify what else I should play lately. I've got some options in there, so.
All right.
Got some thinking to do.
give it a good think or two. I will be playing.
Consult your ape friends.
Yes. don't talk about them like that.
They're ape Americans. Sorry.
They're listening. They prefer itinerant marsupials. Yes.
I think they're technically primates, not marsupials. Isn't there a difference there? I don't know. Like, I know science. I don't know why I'm getting on my high fucking horse.
Oh, that's so racist. Is there a difference? Is there even a difference?
Look, I don't see phylum.
I'm a kingdom man myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kingdom of the spiders, kingdom of the apes. All of those are great kingdoms. The hell were we talking? Oh, yeah, yeah. What are we doing?
You were bringing this to a nice stop at the end of the runway.
You know, I got so distracted. You bring up monkeys. And, I mean, it's like what I have learned to be the hypnotic trick for all babies, a ceiling fan. Run into two different babies lately. You throw a ceiling fan in front of them, they're just, I was crying about my shitty pants a second ago, but look at this thing. I'm the same way with apes, is what I'm getting at. you show me a ceiling fan with apes clinging to it, and it draws the eye.
There's that great scene in Gremlins, too, where they're all hanging from the ceiling fan.
Yeah, it is pretty.
Yeah, I love that. The bar scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good shit hanging from ceiling fans. It's great.
Let's talk about Gremlins for a minute. No. Listeners, thank you so much for bearing with us. It has been a long and strange trip, but the real takeaway I feel is if you've got a bird, fuck that thing. Get rid of it.
And you for having done that to it to begin with.
And also just for having a bird for a pet. It's fish at least are stupid. Like they don't know nothing from a tank, you know, from the ocean. So if you've got like a nice saltwater tank set up, I got a little respect for that. But I don't know, bird in a cage.
Those fish are safe from predators. I mean, you could argue that.
You literally keep your pet in a jail cell.
Yeah.
Right. It's got bars and everything. Like if you're given access to tiny cups, they would run them across the bars. Bergot, let me out.
For the Orange is the New Black fans, you are the fucking warden.
All right. I'm not.
My God.
Brock, I never got a trial. this is obviously that what birds talk like.
It's racist.
It's birdist. All right. Thank you again for listening. We're really done this time. Check out sdfgaming.com where you can find links to the podcast and what you're listening to. So you don't need a link to that. But there's all kinds of videos there too. We're going to be streaming some Battlegrounds pretty soon. We're going to, justin.tv is going to be broadcasting a little Breath of the Wild. Thing,
guys, we're going to make it happen.
Nice. You know, it's you gotta think big, but start small. And that's where we are now. As well as the 9-minute video of me playing multiplayer Injustice 2 and realizing once more that everything I've ever done has been for naught. So
I also just added the on the front page of schadenfreudegaming.com or sdfgaming.com is a big button that says total protonic reversal. And if you click on that and you click on the link that says cross the streams, you can see all of our Twitch channels and a couple of friends that we play with all on the same page. So if we are all online on Twitch, you can watch us all play simultaneously.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Who would cool. We live in an age of wonders. Well done, sir.
It's true. Yeah.
All right. Well, between justin.tv, which you can find soon, I hope. I don't know. When are you going to launch, Justin?
Soon. Definitely
good.
Soon.
Good. By the time you hear this, you might want to check out justin.tv and see what's there.
Yeah, I mean, you should jump on that that domain before the show airs.
Yeah, probably so. All right. And in addition to all of that, you can also find us on Facebook at Schadenfreude Gaming and on the Twitter at SDF Gaming as well. So we will be back in 2 weeks for more chit chat. Probably some E3 talk by then.
Yeah, I think so.
So that'll be fun. See what's coming out. Probably, you know, GTA 6 announced.
Usually some news after the E3.
Yeah.
There's some stuff to talk about.
So we'll be back to talk about all that and a bunch more. So we'll see you then. Say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody. Goodnight.
You know, always got a showboat. That's what. It's fucking what got Comey fired. Showboat.
Bo, turn around. There's a VR headset behind you.
Ah!
Yeah. Scene.
And scene. I tell you, every time I go there, it's a little harder to come back.